So Paul, writing this letter to this young pastor at Ephesus, Timothy. You know, in the midst of all that we've seen, you know, the false teaching, the very oppressive, you know, government that existed at that time, you know, the hardships with the persecution, the horrible persecution that they were going through. I like the way Paul actually ends the letter. That we as believers have the victory. That we as believers need to be focusing on the right things. And if we're focused on the right things, boy, life is good. And we can have an effect. We can have an impact on the world and the culture of our day. And so Paul, in dealing with, you know, even though all this is out there, just like it's out there today, we could say there's a lot of things out there today. As Christians, we can live victoriously. We can live and have peace. We can live and have contentment. We can live in assurance. We can live and be a church that's a godly church. We're a holy people. And so in the midst of all that's around us, we can be like Jesus. And that's what he ends this book with. He encourages those whom he's writing to focus on the right things, and in focusing on the right things, then one will live a life of contentment, godliness, peace, and in essence, a prosperity spiritually as we walk with the Lord. And so I believe Jim told me that he ended with verse 8. And so we're just going to go from verse 9. Paul speaks specifically to those. He's going to specifically instruct the rich, but he speaks to a motivation and a desire that comes from man. He says in verse 9 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, but those who desire to be rich. What Paul's saying here is that it's very easy. I think that because we're human and we're fleshly people, it's very easy for us to desire just simply the wrong things. And what he's talking about is that there can be a wrong thrust, motivation, focus, dream, continual grappling in life for wealth, riches, and prosperity. When it comes to the things of the world can be very attractive. Isn't it sad, even this week? They were playing a clip from the... I never watched the guy, I didn't know who he was, but he's a gourmet guy, and he travels all over the world, and they play a clip. He's sitting somewhere overseas, he's eating, and he's talking to, is it Anthony Bourdain? Bourdain, and he says, oh, now this. And his words are so almost prophetic and empty. And this is where success and wisdom are found. He did. That wasn't where success and wisdom were found. And they made statements that his family and his close friends, I mean, they are so shocked that he would commit suicide. And they looked at him as a man who had, if you wanted almost like a perfect life, and a life of adventure, and a life that could basically, I could do and go wherever I wanted, do whatever I wanted. There it is. And yet, he has nothing to live for. Isn't that sad? And then that that Kate Spade, that designer, again, she has a brother who's a famous comedian, and she was a designer. And she had sold, I think, the line or the trademark Kate Spade for, somebody told me, $2.5 billion. Wow! Not million, not $1 billion. And yet, how sad. They have nothing to live for. It's unbelievable. And then, you know, in the conversation, they were saying that in the United States, you know, the suicide rate is just, like 23%, I believe, is the percentage that I heard, that it's risen 23%. That's hopelessness. Now, there might be some medical things there, but it's like, here we are, and we live in a country that I can be, have nothing. I can be dirt poor. I can really be a nobody, but then I can actually become a somebody. I mean, it's not like if I don't work or if I don't put forth an effort, heck, I can play the lottery and I might win, right? People win the lottery and win millions. I don't, you know, suggest that, but again, it's just like, here we live in a country, look at the opportunity, and yet there just seems to be this time of hopelessness and darkness and despair that it exists. And so those who desire to be rich, you know, what Paul's saying is that you can set your heart on being rich. That's what he's talking about. That is what your heart is set upon. Your heart, that is where your focus in life is, to become wealthy. And again, I think it can be not necessarily just money, but possessions and the whole thing. I mean, I think we live in a country, again, that can be a very insidious and very dangerous thing. You know, again, how much money is enough money? Probably all of us would say we could use a little more. And it's just a sad thing that that's what we would say. And so those who desire, those who set themselves on a course that this is my goal in life, desire to be rich, fall into temptation. It really says three things here. To have a heart that's set on these things, where Jesus said just the opposite. We're going to see Paul says that the root of money is, or money is the root of all evil, that man will do anything for money. You know, the most horrible atrocities can be committed simply for the desire for money. But to have your heart set, you're falling into a temptation that is so dangerous and so destructive. And a snare, it's a snare. And you look at these people that are successful and it's like they're ensnared by their own lifestyle. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. I shouldn't scribble over my Bible. And into many foolish and harmful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I mean, isn't that, again, just look at these lives. We're in the news this past week, and you can see it. You know, they have everything, but their lives are being destroyed. They have nothing to live for. And what he's saying is that these things are foolish. They're harmful. We think they're great. And their lusts are things that we don't. They're not necessities. They're not needs. It's not the and we drown in them. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. He's not saying that you can't be rich and be godly. He's not saying that. But he's saying when that desire in your heart, when the focus is on the richness and on the wealth, maybe on the position, maybe on the recognition that you desire from those kind of, wow, is it a dangerous sign? The love of money, again, just loving money, loving things, loving possessions, all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 62. He actually says, when you come into riches, there's a danger. When you come into it, boy, don't set your heart on those riches. We had one of the sisters in the church, this is years ago. She cleaned for a living. That's how she made her living. And she cleaned for all these wealthy people. Two of the people that she cleaned for they were Christians. And I never forget, we were talking one day and she says, yeah, I was at the house and in fact, what was so funny was that she came to the fellowship and the lady she was talking about came to the fellowship. And she says, you know what? I was talking to so-and-so and they looked at me and they said, you know what? I'm so envious of you. And this sister said, what? I can't hardly survive. I'm just trying to make a... She was a single mom, 4 kids. She said, I can't hardly live. I'm out cleaning your house, because I haven't been able to get a job and blah, blah, blah. And this other sister, she looked at, I'm so envious of you. I said, well, why would you be envious of me? He says, I look at you and all I see is faith. I see a great faith in Christ. Because every day I see you trusting Christ to provide for you. And she looked at her and says, you know what? I've never experienced that. She inherited her wealth. And she said, I question whether I could ever have faith in those areas. She said, it must be such a tremendous thing to be able to trust God and then see God provide. I thought, wow, isn't that powerful? What a powerful statement she's making. Some have strayed from, I'm not saying this, they strayed from them, but what Paul's saying is that, riches can really dampen and affect my relationship with the Lord. In fact, he says that some have even strayed. I threw in there the parable of the sower. I've always just liked that. But the part I threw in there was, the seed is thrown on all these different soils. And then the one where what? The cares, the riches, and the concerns of the world snatch my desires for the things of the Lord right away from me. How insidious. I know. We've experienced that. Close friends of mine. How many? Today you're not gonna manicure, landscape today. You're not gonna do what you need to do outside today. I don't know how many weekends, not many. We haven't had many weekends. I was gone for a couple weekends, but before that spring, I don't think we've had many weekends that have been great weekends. I'm going to you know, get this. And we all have stuff we got to do, right? And how many, I mean, friends, the fellow I've been pretty close to, man, I don't even think they're in fellowship in any church anymore. And at one time, they might have even been, a couple of them were elders here. And they bought a boat, and pretty soon, you know, I mean, how many weekends do you have in Warren County? Not many. But they found these saints, and all of a sudden, they're gone. And I just think that's a danger. For, you know, there's a danger to stray, to get involved in all these other things. Sports. Wow. I thought I would never do it, and I did it. Glad I didn't fall all the way, but there are times. Man, why is every sporting event? I'm talking like for your kids. Sunday morning. You know, the tournament, Sunday morning. For sure it's Sunday. It's ridiculous. And so, wow. You know, that you would put a goal, you know, really a worldly goal above, you know, fellowship. And so they strayed from their faith. And why? Because ultimately, that fleshly man, greed, is dominating their life and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You know, you just think again of these people that we just heard about this week. Wow, how sorrowful they must have been. And nobody even knew. Even people close to them apparently didn't know. And so the danger of running after the wrong things. In contrast to that, Paul goes on, but you, O man of God, but you, I like that, but they're, let's compare it, let's contrast it. You don't have to be like that. I don't have to be like that. But you, O man of God, I like it, what he says. Flee, run, stay away from it. Flee these things. And what? Where I would pursue this area, no, I'm going to turn now and pursue God. Andrew Murray, right? Pursuit of holiness. Wow. Well, who do you think? I pursue it? You ought to read it if you never read it. The pursuit of God. You know, I've ever, it's kind of like I don't think of that. Paul's saying, pursue God. Pursue the things of God. And I just think all of us could think of what we love to do. Right? I mean, all of us have something we love to do. And if we have a minute or we have a morning or an afternoon or an evening, we can do it. We're going to do it. You know, for Matt, it's jumping jumps on a quad, right? You know, for somebody, it might be, you know, working on that quilt or whatever. How I would pursue and have a desire. I can remember when we were working, we'd be working in, it was about this time, sometimes it'd be earlier, it was year round, I shared this before. I would want to get through the day. I hate this. You know, man, I got, and so what I would do is my mind would automatically go, I would be in the mountains. There I am, you know, with Mike, and we've got our bows, and we're chasing these animals. Man, it is the most awesome thing. Oh, Lord, it's six. Well, I'd start like, it's 11 months away. That's how addicted I was. It's 11 months away. Heck, I just got done with it. And I'm thinking, man, it's 11 months away, then 10 months, then 6, then 2. Oh. And finally, one day, the Lord convicted me. He said, what are you doing? You're focused. That's what's bringing you happiness? That's what's getting you through your day? This false thing? of quote going on vacation. Why aren't you enjoying me? Why are you thinking about me? I was so convicted. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Is it true that in his presence is fullness of joy? Or not? It's true. And so, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Don't set your heart on, don't desire these things. That's not what we're about. Pursue. What? You know how you pursue. Every young, everybody who's married right now, both of you knew what it was to pursue that one you're married to. Boy, some of it was pretty, look at the lengths that you would go to win that person's affection, to keep that person's affection. Pursue. What are we to pursue? Right living. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Wow! You mean these are things? Man, as much as I would pursue learning to play that guitar or for me, hunting, how does that compare in pursuing the things of God? How does that energy, and I think at times too, even the money that's involved at times in things like that, I don't think you could buy a good guitar for, I don't know what you could. You could find a good guitar, probably pretty cheap. But anymore, I'm thinking, you know, heck. On average, I don't know, $2,500, I don't know. Depending on what you want. I mean, you want a really good guitar. I bet you $2,500 at the least, I don't know. And you can find ones that aren't 20 that would play good, but if you want something that's really, I think you're going to spend some money. When was the last time I spent money pursuing God? I think just what Kim said, this retreat coming up. These guys that just went to the men's retreat. Geez, it cost over $200 to go. I mean, it's just the way it is. I think they would agree that the food alone was worth that. Right, Kyle? But sometimes when we think of the things of God, man, you know, oh, I'm not going to do that. Pursue. You know, how am I going to, you know, pursuing God, pursuing faith, love, patience, gentleness. You know, things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Is that what I pursue? I am what I am right now. I don't want to stay what I am. You are what you are right now. I hope you don't want to stay what you are. I hope that you, and I hope that I, would want to grow to be more like Jesus. That's what he's saying right here, that I love, patience, gentle, the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in my life, that I would be pursuing I would just be pursuing God. Intimacy with God will basically solve just about anything that you're dealing with. People ask me, you know, I want to share my faith. Get intimate with God. Be in his word every day and you'll be sharing your faith. That's all there is to it. You don't have to do the way of the master. You don't have to do anything. You be intimate with God on a regular basis and be in his word and you're going to be sharing your faith. It's an amazing thing to see and it's an amazing thing to experience and to watch. Simple question, what am I pursuing? What is the dominant thing in my life right now? Making a buck, becoming successful. You know, becoming successful in my own mind. You know, oh boy, I'm really something now. I've got what I need to get. I'm doing it, you know. Or is it, you know what, I just want to know Jesus better. I want to become more like him. I want to grow in these things. So there's a pursuit of God that Paul's directing Timothy and these believers to. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. One verse. I've always loved these verses. 1 John chapter 2. You want to flip up there? 1 John 2. You know, what am I loving? This is what John says. Don't love the world. 2:15. Don't love the world. Don't desire the world. Don't pursue the world. Don't have a heart for the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in them. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's all of the world. Seek Jesus. Seek the things of the kingdom. Let's go back. Verse 12. So pursue God. Then be realistic. He's already told Timothy, take a stand. Be strong. Don't cut and run. We're in a battle. We're fighting a war. We're soldiers. And you know what? We got to fight. So fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand for the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Embrace it all. Believe it all. Cling to it all. Fight the good fight of faith. He's saying there's a battle out there. They're going to water it down. They're not going to... I heard somebody on the radio this week talking about just the good fight of faith. And they were specifically talking about, I forget who it was, but repentance. And how you never hear it anymore. And how it's needed. And it needs to be a message in the church. And we can't shun away from the truths of the fact that we're sinners and we need to repent. And so cling to the truth. You know, we're not I thought it was so funny. We're not gender neutral. Now they even have dinners. Let's go to the gender neutral dinner. I know, what in the world is that? These are world leaders going to the gender neutral dinner. Oh, wow. That's really something. No, God made them what? Male and female. That's the truth. And so we'll cling to that truth. I thought maybe somebody was here. I came in this morning and what happened to the bathroom signs? I thought maybe somebody was trying to do that. You know, unisex bathrooms. The signs were gone. It's the truth. What's going on? I think one of the children were trying to play a joke. Well, we found them, hid, and put them up. Yes, we don't male and female, men and women. So, you know, the truth about marriage. You know, all these things. You know, we're going to fight the good fight. We're going to stand for the truth. Lay hold on eternal life. What's eternal life? John says eternal life is knowing God. Just what we're talking about. That I would lay hold of it. That I would pursue it. That I would be intimate. That I would be growing in the knowledge of God. To which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Verse 13, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that if you keep his commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus comes, Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality dwelling in, whoa, what a doxology, thing of praise here. Unapproachable light. I think maybe we sing this. I think in the true, I should have looked in the old King James what this is. Is this where we maybe get immortal, invisible, God only wise? Or is that another place? That just popped in my head, but that's a tremendous hymn. We should do that next week, John. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. And you talk about truth and high praise. Wow. Whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So it's again, I just put in there that we lay hold of this eternal truth and this eternal life. It's been confessed individually. It's been confessed by the Father himself. It's been confessed by the church. And it's been witnessed. And he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He alone, wow, immortal. Again, I just think of that, invisible. I can't think of the second verses, but it's all doctrine. It's all attributes like that. It's tremendous. That's who we worship. That's whom we honor. And Paul's just saying, love the Lord. Set your heart on the Lord. Be intimate with the Lord. Stand with the Lord. Set our focus on the Lord. Pursue those things, not the things of the world. And then he wraps it up. Command those who are rich. Again, it's not wrong to be rich. Nothing wrong. God blesses and enables. Command, but specifically, there's a danger in richness. Pride. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have. Look at who I am. Again, it's interesting. I love the stories about Jesus when he was around people, when he was around rich people. He was always looking to touch the lowest of the low, not necessarily rub shoulders with the uppest of the upper. And I think it's, again, natural in my flesh that, man, I kind of want to rub shoulders with the upper. But Jesus always wanted to touch the lower. And so command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. You know, don't be prideful. Again, I love John the Baptist. Anything I have because God, you have given it to me. Why can I boast in anything? I can't boast in anything. God, you've blessed, you've given it. Nor to trust in uncertain riches.
I think of that lady that spoke to that other lady in the fellowship. It was hard for her to trust in God. She trusted, she admitted, I trust in my riches. I don't have a need. I don't have a care. I do not have to trust, out of her own mouth, I do not have to trust God. Wow. There's a danger in that. You know, wow, that we would trust not in things, not in, again, an uncertain. They could be gone tomorrow, right? I've never had anything in the stock market, but I know people that had stuff in the stock market. A few years ago, they lost everything. Now, I think they've gained it back now. But how uncertain it can be. Bam. Or, you know what's really uncertain? I could right now have $1 million in the stock market, and I could drop dead right now. Right? I mean, that's really uncertain. I mean, those riches aren't going to do me nothing. That's why I don't have anything. Anything I have, I'm going to invest in the kingdom one way or another. That's just me. So, you know, here again, you know, we are reaching the world with the gospel right now. Wow, that's an amazing thing. There's others doing it too. This little group right here is doing it. It's exciting. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Anything we have because he's given it to us, and we can freely enjoy it. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. There are some very generous people, I'm sure, that are very wealthy. But I always look at it because Jesus looked at it that way. That poor little widow that gave what? One mite. Jesus said gave more than that wealthy person who made a big deal about it and announced. And I wonder, you know, I don't know who the rich people are. Who's a rich person that's generous? The cooks, are they? McDonald's? Are they Christians? The McDonald's guys? I don't know. Reading, I thought about them. When I was in Canada last week, we went by miles, miles and miles and miles. The Cook Farms. You know, they bought up all this land, and they grain farm up there. And so, but my point is, if I have $1 billion and give $1 million, what's that compared if I have 10,000 and give 1,000? Yeah, I'd probably feel the 1,000 and be a sacrifice. I don't think given $1 million when I'm a billionaire. And I think that's what Jesus is saying. And so let them do good, that they be rich in good works. Do good works. You know, God's blessed us. God's blessed you. Be ready to give, willing to share. Be generous. Again, the whole thing of giving, I love Paul's instructions in Corinthians. And if you read it, it's a grace. The grace of giving. We're not under the law. And so it's a grace. As we've received grace, we're going to give grace. That's a good thing to have discipline. If you want to do 10%. But I don't even look at that in my own life. I don't even look at it. Because that's not what I want to do. I don't even want to do a percent. I want to give by God's grace. So it might be 50%. It might be 60%. Let them do good, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So that's all he's interested in. Pursue God. Don't let riches become a stumbling block to you, rich person. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust,
Avoiding, he's already said this, avoiding the profane and the idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you, amen. Just stay with the truth of the word. I always liked Chuck when he would say, you know what? We just simply teach the Bible simply. That's all we have to do is stay right in the truth. Just continue to walk in the truth. The simple scriptures, simply. Father, help us, Lord, to heed what the Holy Spirit was saying through Paul here. Lord, we're very fortunate. Lord, we can become sidetracked so easily. Lord, even if we would not consider ourselves rich, there are so many opportunities, so many things, Lord, that can simply sidetrack us. Lord, help us to recognize those snares, as Paul puts it, those temptations. And Lord, I pray that we would have a hot pursuit of you, of your word, Lord, of the things of God.